I'm going to look at Luke 18, verse 14 again. This is one of this is his response, or his the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And his summation is verse 14, I tell you, this man went down, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I remember the publican, the most hated of all in Israel, because they were the tax they were Jewish tax collectors. And his response, his statement was, he was standing afar off, would not so much lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote his upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This is why it's so critical for us to even not for us to believe that we're quote unquote saved. It's always on the basis of his mercy. I don't care. And this was Paul's response too. It's that this is what's so evil about this once saved, always saved position. Because it's just another form of pride. So anyway, the abased is what I want to talk about. We didn't really go into it much. It's the word, it's typino, which means to be humbled or made low. And or it's really to be made the lowest. So we've studied this verse several times, but let's look at it.
We've studied this word pretty often too, typino. Huh?
I know.
It's the same word, right?
Yeah. Let's go to Philippians 2. Start verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, whenever you see that word used, it talks about affection and compassion. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And it really should say, look not every man on his own welfare. It's a whole different way of looking. You would give your salvation if someone else could be saved. It's not just material goods. It's the very act of being saved that you would give it away and for someone else's benefit. And that leads us to what we've studied 100 times. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery or something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The word servant there is the word of bond servant, bond slave. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Now, the idea that God, in the form of Jesus Christ, would take on this position of the servant, of a bond servant, is beyond our comprehension. And the idea that he would totally and completely empty himself is ludicrous. That he would live by faith alone, he did nothing of himself, is impossible. But yet that's what it says. He emptied himself so that the channel was clear, was empty. But that wasn't just it. It was also this: he humbled himself. He became a bondservant. And so this is the position that I pray each one of us come to. That we would let the mind of Christ be in us, but we'd also take upon ourselves the form of this bondservant. And that's
take on ourselves the form of this.
Of a bond servant.
Hearing is.
Uh-huh.
Hearing sometimes is crazy. Yeah.
But this is, at least I think you see this much in where the church is persecuted. I was reading about some of the Christians that have been captured by ISIS, and there's a few reports out, and they were going to be beheaded. They just bent their head, and it's hundreds of them. A recent raid, they got 160 Christians, and they are certainly are going to be dead. But it's not, and it's also I get confused between Sunni and Shia, but whatever I think that ISIS is Shia, and so they do the same thing to any Sunni Muslims. And it's just, and they're doing it in the name of God. That's what, but you end up, Christians did the same thing in the name of crusades. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, but I wanted to couple this mind of Christ with the typano, the humility and the bond servant. It's not just emptier. You see yourself as a servant, and that kind of unbelievable humility. All right, let's go down back to Luke. No, wait a minute. Let's go to James. Or no, first, yeah, James 4. For whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? You lust, you want, and have not. You kill, and desire to have. Do you really kill?
Kill. Oh, it's. Do you know the word for kill? I mean,
means kill.
Yeah, but kill, it's like other words, it has a...
Well, it's from the standpoint of us, or believers, to hate is to withhold or not say what's there, and to kill is to separate yourself.
Separate, yeah, and to take the other's life, you take someone's life from them. And it goes, I think it has a degree.
Take their life from them?
You
no.
You kill them. You
well,
take
you
their
you
life
you
away.
Well, in terms of how it's seen by God, you kill them.
Uh-huh.
We would never think that.
Well, we think kill is just
kill.
Destroy their body or kill, stop their heart. Or
all right. You kill, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Just think of that. In what areas are you a friend of the world? You're a friend if you love them, and you love them because you give them an importance. That's what agapeo means, remember, as a verb. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God, or in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Those words in that chapter 4 just strike at us. All right, go back. Back to Luke. I want to take another look at this word here in verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And this is the only time that this word is used is in the writings by Luke. And it's another word for infant, but it's blepos, blepos. And it means not just a new born infant, it means the infant that's still in the womb. And we studied this, but it just puts much more of this mind of Christ thing being being almost as if you were still in the womb is really the way it's that, not just you were born, but you're still in the womb. That's the inference that Luke is making. He's not just saying that little child before self-awareness. He's saying the blipos of such is the kingdom of God. He that receiveth not the kingdom of God as that little child, receiveth it not. It's the same, I mean, it's this whole deal. We always do it. I've done it. I haven't done it lately, thankfully, but I try to make this gospel fit into the parameters of my mind. And it can't be done. And so what you do is you sit in judgment of the scriptures. And that's a very dangerous place to be. We make fun of the Crouches and Copelands, etc., because they take half a scripture here and there and create a gospel. But don't we do the same? Maybe not with the same.
Hopefully not.
All right. And we did it before, but I want to do it again. This is to make sure it hits us. I want to see where else Luke used bleep. It's not. I didn't say that right. It's BREPHOS, brephos, not bleephos.
That's a prettier sound.
Huh?
That's a prettier sound.
Yeah, Luke 1. And I'm really doing this part here, right here, for Gary's benefit, since you weren't here.
Luke 1,
chapter 1. Mary is probably about 6 months pregnant. And she's shamed throughout the community. The rumors are rampant that she had sex before she was married. Joseph was about to put her away from him. All he had to say was, "I divorce you." There was no
paperwork.
Yeah. And he was about to do that. But then the angel came and had a little chat with him. But the angel didn't appear to all of them, the members of that community. And so Nazareth wasn't that big a place, but it was big enough to have a rumor mill. So Mary is shamed and all screwed up, probably doesn't believe the angel and wonders what's going on. And then in verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah." And it's the thing with haste is this idea that she was in haste to get away from the rumor mongers and talebearers. "And entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. This word, the babe or the infant, is briefos. So John the Baptist, inside still his mother's womb, Elizabeth, which was another miracle birth, jumped for joy inside his mother's womb when he heard the mother of Jesus speak. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then we read it the other day, but I want to do it again. Then Mary's coming to Elizabeth in haste. Remember, Elizabeth is her cousin. Coming to her in haste because of what I believe is that rumor mongering in Nazareth. And then she says this incredible thing, which is called the Magnificat. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good tidings, and rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Bleepos. The child still inside the womb. Except you become as that little child who can no wise enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because now we see time and space is only the womb. And we've forgotten or neglected or set aside or turned away from everything else. Our doubts have turned to faith. Our sloth has turned to zeal. And there's He alone is our life and no other. But Luke's use of briefos, a child still in the womb, to be the basis for entering, of that mind for entering the kingdom of God. It's not, you can't really argue with that. Because it's a total and complete lack of self-awareness. It's aware only of the womb itself. And you see everything else from that perspective. It's impossible for you to now to love anything in the world, to give importance to anything in the world. Amen. That's not. That was a sort of redo of what we did already, but I thought it was important. You said you were going to talk to me when you get back. You want to do that privately or talk about, do it publicly? About some.
Oh, yeah. About defaulting stuff.
The default position.
Yeah. I don't really want to do it right now.
All right. No problem. Think of it in terms of the mind of Christ from the bleepo's position.
Tell me again exactly what the default position is.
Well, I believe the default position is the evil one.
And Gary says no?
Gary believes, or at least in the past, he said no, it's the mind of Christ.
Oh, I see.
It's the life of Christ.
And well, it's the only way the life is seen is by the mind. Had manifest.
Well,
it's not.
Yeah, if you say the mind of Christ, then that takes away from how I'm seeing it. I'm not declaring what I'm saying is truth because of this thing I've been through. And what I've seen is, let's say things don't go my way. Where do I go with it? And Pete was a big part of this because he did some stuff I really was pissed off at him, and in the process I defaulted to self with him big time, and got very angry, and that was part of why I wanted to talk about it, because of that experience. And so it put the question, it put capital letters.
Well, just all I would ask you to do is see this mind of Christ position now from the standpoint of still in the womb. All right, take it, big guy.